Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the NFL show on this Tuesday, November 29th, 2011. As always, the call number is, I'm Cyril Quinn, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. Happy to have you here on another edition of the NFL show. 347-215-6180. You can always follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald, or hit me up on facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. My Blog Talk Radio audience, I am currently on the chat line, and the poll question of the night is, which quarterback would you want on your team right now? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or of course, Drew Brees? That is the poll question of the night. I'll give you my answer towards the latter part of the program. All right. Those of you who have listened to my program over the past couple of, throughout the course of the season, probably know what direction I'm going in. But it's not as easy. It's not as easy a decision as you may think with the way that all three of those guys are playing right now. Those are clearly the three best quarterbacks in the league. All three of them are headed towards record-breaking, putting up record-breaking numbers in terms of yards, possibly completion percentage. And maybe, who knows, Aaron Rodgers might be, putting up be the second quarterback in history or the third quarterback in history to have a perfect regular season, joining the likes of Bob Greasy and Tom Brady. As always, we begin with the game of the week, and it took place early on this week 12 of the NFL season, Dallas and Miami. Dallas edges out Miami 20-19 on a Dan Bailey 28-yard field goal. Dallas improves to 7-4 on the season. Miami falls to 3-8. Good day for Laurent Robinson, who has been one of the surprising players of this season. Laurent Robinson, 7 catches, 79 yards, 2 touchdown receptions. Tony Romo's okay in this game. He did throw a couple of picks, but did engineer a great drive in that late third quarter, early fourth quarter to help Dallas regain the lead. 22-34 for Romo, 226, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Matt Moore on Miami's end played well, 19-32, 288, a touchdown, no interceptions. Brandon Marshall went for 5 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown. Very impressive performance for the Miami Dolphins. I expected Dallas to win this game, but I did not think that it would be this close. I mean, it's a shame that it took Miami, to go basically 0-7 before they started playing football, because the last 4 or 5 weeks, they played very well, including some losses, including the loss to the New York Giants that they a game that they easily could have won. Miami, again, and you always see this in the NFL, Miami is one of those teams that if you are in contention for a division, in contention for home field advantage, especially if you're contention for a playoff spot, they're a team that you don't want to see. I give Tony Serrano a lot of credit for having that team play hard. They know he's a lame duck coach. He's on his way out. But that team is playing like there's no tomorrow, so I give him a lot of credit for that. Reggie Bush, he's getting some out of Reggie Bush. Fasano, tight end's playing well. Again, Matt Moore. In the month of November, Matt Moore was basically the second best quarterback in football as far as quarterback rating goes behind, the great Aaron Rodgers. So he certainly has played great as well, of course, this month. But They are left with a 3-8 record. Dallas seems to be in control of the NFC East, especially with what happened to the Giants last night. We'll talk more about that over the course of the program. So, you know, Dallas did enough. They not played great, but did enough to survive a game Miami effort. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next hour as we discuss and look back on Week 12 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. As always, again, the call number is 347-215-6180. We'll be right back with an embarrassing demonstration in New York and a must-win down in Cleveland. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. As we again, we discuss Week 12 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Also, if you missed the opening of the show, you can always catch it on CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. Again, that is CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. Matter of fact, for my Blog Talk Radio audience, I will post it on the chat line. So check out the website. Top five quarterbacks is up this week. There's no change at the top, of course, with one Aaron Rodgers, but interesting number four and number five. So check that out when you certainly get the chance to. Jets get a must-win over Buffalo 28-24 in what I thought was basically an elimination game. Jets improved to 6-5 on the season. Buffalo falls to 5-6. A couple stories in this game, and I'll get to the Stevie Johnson shenanigans. But Mark Sanchez probably had one of the worst four touchdown games in history. 17-35, 180 yards, four touchdowns and an interception. Not too many quarterbacks in NFL history have had four touchdown games but yet completed below 50% of their passes. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 26-39, 264, three touchdowns of his own. Sanchez had a Sanchez again played well. Stevie Johnson, who really, and I said I was telling this to a buddy of mine, really had his way with Darrelle Revis, and I'm thinking about. Darrelle Revis is by far and away the best cornerback in the league, and just to me, the defensive player of the year without question. I mean, he's the best defensive player in football. Think about the guys who had their way with Revis this year, and you know, Wes Welker had a good game against him the first time the Jets and New England played. Dez Bryant had his way with Revis in the first half of the game of Week One against when the Jets played the Cowboys, but then he got hurt, of course. I didn't finish the game. But for a complete game, from start to finish, I hadn't seen anybody handle Revis the way Stevie Johnson would handle Revis. I mean, he did whatever he wanted to on Reeves, and you look at his numbers, you know, 8 catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown, pretty good numbers, great numbers against Reeves, but really, I mean, it should have been about 11 or 12 catches for about 120, 130 yards and a couple of touchdowns, including the one he dropped that would have given basically Buffalo the win towards the latter part of the game as Buffalo was trying to drive in for the game time, for the game-winning score. Of course, Johnson, you know, did the whole thing with Plaxico Burress, imitating Plaxico Burress shooting himself in the nightclub, of course, 3 years ago, the anniversary, ironically, it's the three-year anniversary of that. Of that shooting in 2008. Just, you know, some of these things, you know, these guys, some of these things are premeditated. I can't believe that this was not premeditated by Stevie Johnson. You know, he said all the right things. He apologized. He talked with Burress after the game, allegedly a day later, either after the game or a day later. I think it was probably a day later, texting, apologizing, you know, the whole game, you know, went through the whole bit. But, I mean, don't sit up here and tell me that it wasn't premeditated. If you're Stevie Johnson, number one, don't sit up here and tell me that it wasn't premeditated. Number two, don't sit up here and say that you were not imitating Plaxico Burress. I mean, come on. Like, Stevie, like, who were you imitating exactly? I don't get it. You know, cost your team 15 yards in terms of penalty. You got a 15-yard penalty for taunting. The guy misses a kick, and the Jets score right before the half. Is that the reason why Buffalo lost the game? No. I mean, that's not the reason why they lost the game, but it certainly did not help, and certainly didn't help. And Buffalo, again, 5-6, Buffalo is absolutely finished. That 5-2 start seems like, you know, it was about 10 years ago now, as they have just fallen totally off the cliff. Fred Jackson done for the season, of course, on IR. And outside of Stevie Johnson, they have really no weapons on offense. Cleveland, Cincinnati takes out Cleveland 23-20. Cincinnati improves to 7-4 on the season. Cleveland falls to 4-7. A really big win for Cleveland, excuse me, for Cincinnati, considering they had lost back-to-back games to Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore needed to needed to certainly keep up pace with those two teams that had Pittsburgh next week. Andy Dalton had another impressive day, 21-31, 270 for a touchdown. Cedric Benson went for over 100 yards and a touchdown, and A.J. Green had 3 catches for 110 yards. Colt McCoy, 16-34, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. Dr. Schneid, Cleveland, you know, does not. We're back. Had a little technical issue there, but we are certainly we're back on this latest edition of the NFL show. Cleveland has a pretty good defense. They have a pretty good defense, so you know it's not a walk in the park to play them. Again, Dalton to me has been tremendous over the course of this season. I think he is toe to toe with Cam Newton as far as that rookie of the year. Like, if Cincinnati gets to the playoffs, I believe I would give Andy Dalton offensive rookie of the year. I mean, he's been that good, and you know, not enough people are talking about it. Again, Cam Newton has put up big time numbers as far as, you know, total touchdowns, rushing touchdowns for a quarterback, but Andy Dalton is the one that is out there winning games and playing in an absolute brutal division. I mean, you're in a division with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, two legitimate Super Bowl contenders. You have a 7-4 record. That is certainly nothing to sneeze at. And I'm certainly in Cleveland. I mean, Cincinnati is basically set for the next 5 to 10 years with that quarterback receiving combination of Dalton. You know, you have Dalton, Green, Gresham. You know, they have some nice pieces with it for that Cincinnati team. They got, again, a big time win for them, even though it's only Cleveland. Snap that 2-game losing streak. They will be at Pittsburgh next week in a big divisional rivalry. Pittsburgh. Speaking of Pittsburgh, they had a very unimpressive performance against the Kansas City Chiefs, 13-9. We've seen Pittsburgh win a couple of games like this over the course of the season, where even against Indianapolis on Sunday Night Football, where you just shook your head and say, you know, how can this team possibly compete for a Super Bowl playing like this? They do improve to 8-3 on the season. Kansas City falls to 4-7. Roethlisberger was 21-31, 193, a touchdown and interception. Tyler Palko, you know, it was Tyler Palko. I mean, 18-28, 167, three interceptions, no touchdowns. Though the last interception was an absolute, was a just a joke, because it was not only was it a bad pass. I mean, there was about five defensive players around Dwayne Bowe. But if you're Dwayne Bowe, you've got to put together a better effort in either trying to catch the pass or trying to make sure that the cornerbacks or safeties or that the defender doesn't catch it. I mean, he put a half-hearted effort, and it was just, you know, it's something that you just hate to watch as a football fan. And he was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to catch it, so you catch it. Just, it was, I mean, if you're a Kansas City fan, you probably had to throw your TV out the window after watching a play like that. So Kansas City falls to 4-7. Pittsburgh goes to 8-3. Logjam up top of the AFC with Pittsburgh and, you know, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and New England, and also Houston at the 8-3 record. Again, Pittsburgh has a big-time game next week, hosting Cincinnati, who played them very tough a couple of weeks ago in a 7-point win. When we return, we'll go to the West Coast, where the special teams dominated, and another unimpressive victory for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll talk about that and much more to come on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Hour on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Surreal Quinn taking you up until 9 p.m. this evening as we discuss the NFL Week 12 already in the books. Before you know it, the playoffs will begin in a few weeks, but still a lot to be determined over the course of the next 5 weeks in the league with no contract is guaranteed. Oakland gets a 25-20 victory over the Chicago Bears. Both teams are at 7-4 on the season. Of course, Chicago playing without Jay Cutler, with a thumb injury. Caleb Haney was just god awful in this game. 18-36, 254, two touchdowns, three interceptions. The stars of this game, there were two big stars in this game. Number one was Sebastian Janikowski, 6 for 6 on field goals. And then, of course, you had Shane Lechler goes out there and kicks an 80-yard punt over Devin Hester's head to change field position. Just, again, you know, I remember – when Janikowski was taken with a first-round pick, and this is typical Al Davis taking the kick in the first round. He's nuts. But let me tell you something. That guy, when he's done, might end up in the Hall of Fame. I mean, again, I don't see him in a first-round pick, Probably not. You know, you can get a kicker. Kickers, you know, it doesn't take a lot to get a kicker. But that guy, you know, he's a weapon. He's absolutely a weapon. When you cross midfield, you're already in scoring position. And Lechler has been the best punter in football for about basically like probably the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, Lechler, they, you know, they had the best punt kicker kicking punt combination maybe in the history of football. I mean, both those guys are that good. And a game, you know, Chicago, you know, put up 400 yards of total offense. Think about this game that was kind of baffling. They talked about it a little bit on the NFL wrap-up show last Sunday night. Was the ball distribution or the carry distribution between Marion Barber and Matt Forte. Matt Forte had 12 carries for 59 yards. Marion Barber had 10 carries for 63 yards. I have a lot of respect for Marion Barber. He's just tough and as physical of a runner that there is in the league, or that there was at one time he was, maybe not anymore. But I mean, this guy was, you know, ran as physical as any running football in the Dallas Cowboys, and he was with the Cowboys. But he's not even the same, you know, stratosphere as Matt Forte. You can't have a game, unless Forte was injured, and I didn't hear anything about Forte being hurt, you can't have a game where Marion Barber gets two less carries than Matt Forte. It just can't happen. And lately, Forte's production has fallen off. I don't know what's going on with, you know, with him and Mike Marks and Lovie Smith. I'm not in Chicago, so I don't understand that whole dynamic, but they better get the ball back into Mike Forte's hands, because he is by far, even with Cutler healthy, he's your best offensive player. Carson Palmer goes 21 for 37, 301 yards, one interception. Johnny Knox had a big day for the Bears, four catches, 145 yards, one touchdown. Good win for the Raiders. The Raiders are now getting 7-4, and to me, are in control of the AFC West division. They are clearly the best team in that division. They should win that division. I know Denver's just a game behind, but the Raiders are clearly the best team in that division. Atlanta, 24, Minnesota 14. Atlanta improves to 7-4 on the season. Minnesota falls to 2-9. Atlanta held Minnesota 226 yards of offense. No Adrian Peterson. Christian Palmer was a decent 17-25, 186, one touchdown. But yet, Atlanta found themselves in the fourth quarter fighting, you know, basically scratching and clawing to try to get this win. And we've seen two or three games like that from Atlanta over the course of the season where they just don't know how to quite put teams away. They allow teams to hang around, and next thing you know, they're in a dogfight. Michael Turner, quiet day for him, 19 carries for 60 yards. Roddy White had a big game with 10 catches, 120 yards, and a touchdown. But Atlanta, Matt Ryan, 27-34 for 262 and three touchdowns. But Atlanta does get the win and improves to 7-4 to keep pace with the New Orleans Saints. When we return, Another win for the Texans, but another quarterback loss, and Tebow does it again. We'll talk about that on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. 26 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, as we discuss Week 12 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. Houston over Jacksonville 20-13. Houston improves to 8-3 on the season. Jacksonville falls to 3-8 and now finds themselves with a new head coach, or will when the season is done. I'm sure that will be when the season's over with. Jack the Real, of course, is out. And Houston, you know, just finds a way to win in spite of any circumstance. They lose another quarterback, Matt Leinart, who was playing very well before he injured his collarbone, and he's done for the season, 10 for 13, 57 yards and a touchdown. But in a day, you know, in a game where they lose, you know, another quarterback, and Arian Foster only has 22 carries for 65 yards. Houston only had 215 yards of total offense. Again, find a way to win. Their defense has been off the charts this year, been as good. Their defense has played as well as any defense in football this year. They hold Jacksonville, you know, they hold Jacksonville in check to 13 points. Despite a good game out, Maurice Jones drew 18 carries, 99 yards, also had 4 catches for 67 yards. Curious move in this game to me, and this is, I don't know if this helped. This certainly couldn't have helped as far as Jack the Real goes. I mean, I'm sure he was done even long before he made this move, taking Blaine Gabbert out and putting Luke McCown in. You know, Jack, you're 3-7, okay, at the time during the game. You're not going anywhere. What are you doing? I mean, you have a rookie quarterback who has not embarrassed himself, okay? Let the kid play. I didn't understand the move at all. Gives the team the best chance to win. Well, you know, start Luke McCown in. It makes no sense. I mean, Luke, forget about Luke McCown for a minute. Blaine Gabbert is your quarterback. And I'm sure the powers that be, owner, general manager, that was just it. I mean, that was just the tip of the iceberg. That was, you know, okay, this guy's got to go. I mean, because, you know, when you make moves like that, you're basically retarding the growth of your quarterback. He needs as many reps, as many plays, as much experience as possible. So that was a very curious move. Luke McCown came in, 7-11, 62 yards, but didn't account for any scores. You know, didn't score, you know, didn't throw for a touchdown or do anything. He served no purpose in the game, basically. So there you go with that. Houston, you know, T.J. Yates finished the game. Wasn't terrible, 8 for 15, 70 yards, no turnovers, no touchdown passes. I'm sure, you know, certainly Houston will take no turnovers. But they're looking at some quarterbacks like Jeff Garcia, and you know if I'm Houston, you know I might give Don McNabb a look, if I'm Don McNabb, I might give Houston a look, you know, just a thought. They have zero interest, and rightfully so, in Brett Favre, and I don't blame them. I mean, first of all, I don't know if Brett Favre has any interest in playing. But they're not giving him any reason to have an interest, as they are not going to go that particular route. Denver, 16, San Diego, 13 in overtime. Denver improves from 6-5 on the season. The Chargers lose their 6th straight and fall to 4-7. Chargers, you know, classic Chargers. They blow a 10-point lead at home. Willis McGahee runs all over them for 23 carries, 117 yards. Tim Tebow had 22 carries for 67 yards. Rushing also was a respectable 9 for 18, 143 and a touchdown. You know, 50% is about as high as as Tebow's going to get as far as complete passes. I mean, if you're asking for more than 50%, I mean, you're asking for too much. So that's about as good as it's going to get for him. This game, you know, typified the Chargers. Chargers, again, blow the 10-point lead. They get in overtime. Novak misses 2 field goals and then proceeds to take a piss on the sideline with, you know, in front of millions of people who are watching the game. And I like that. Like, that's very typical of the Chargers. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Like, so, you know, they have Ryan Matthews had a big game, 22 carries for 137 37 yards has been probably the lone bright spot in during this particular year for the Chargers. So the Chargers are getting overtime. Both teams had a couple of possessions. Had at least one possession, couple of possessions. The Chargers had the ball, 3rd and 6, and North Turner, for some ridiculous reason, decides to run the ball. Now, keep in mind, you are in the range of that. You're almost at no man's land as far as field goals go. Novak had made a 53-yarder earlier. He also missed a 53-yarder over the course of the game. You know, 3rd and 6, if you gain no yards, okay, incomplete pass, I'm trying to give you a hint on maybe they should have thrown a down ball. If you gain no yards, it is a 49-yard field goal. They run the ball with Tolbert, who's not Ryan Matthews, with Tolbert for a loss of 4 yards. And they proceed, they attempt a 53-yard field goal, and of course they miss it. Denver takes the ball right down their throat, and Matt Prater makes a 37-yard field goal to win the game. I mean, just a typical North Turner. It's typical North Turner. So Denver, good win for Denver. They improved to 6-5. Again, I am not buying the Tim Tebow hype. I don't know how Tim Tebow is doing what he's doing, especially in the fourth quarter. Denver, you know, to me, is about their defense. It's about their defense and their running game with Willis McGahee. Their defense keeps them close enough to allow them to steal the game at the end. Tebow's made a couple plays down the stretch, but to me, their winning streak is about this 5-1 stretch that they've had, that Tebow's had with that team. To me, is about the defense, as far as I'm concerned. When we return, an ambush at the link and the pack keep on rolling. We'll talk about those two. We'll talk about those two juggernauts and much, much more in this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. After the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL Show, I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. 347-215-6180 is your call number. New England demolishes Philadelphia 38-20. Philadelphia jumped out 10-0, and you're saying to yourself, "Okay, we got a game. You know, we have a game here. Maybe we get one of those classic shootouts, but." After that, it was like New England was like, oh, okay, you guys came to play today. All right, let's get serious, and proceeded to just, you know, have their way with the Eagles. Scored on 5 of their last 6 possessions, not including, you know, a kneel down. Basically, in the last quarter, I would say the last quarter called off the Dogs. I mean, they could have put 50 easily on the Eagles. Tom Brady was finished. Brady, 24-34, 361, 3 touchdown passes. You know, Bill Belichick just baited Andy Reid into, you know, trying to make Vince Young, you know, Joe Montana. I mean, Vince Young throws the ball 48 times. Yes, he had 400 yards passing, but the bottom line is when you have LeSean McCoy on your team, there's no way Vince Young should throw the ball 48 times. And I get the fact that there was that New England took total control of this game, especially in the second half, but the game was still close enough to where if you're the Eagles, you have to run the ball 25, 30 times. You can't, again, you're not, you have no chance with Vince Young throwing the ball that many times. Key stat in this game to me is the commitment, this new commitment that New England has shown towards their running attack. Brady has 34 passes. New England as a team had 36 rushes for 100, you know, not a lot of yards. I mean, just 104 yards, but it's just the rushes, you know, keeping the pass rush off Brady. They hit Brady a lot the first couple series, but after that, after midway through the first quarter, they didn't touch Brady. I mean, they didn't already touch Brady at all. Had a clean pocket to throw in, made just every particular throw that you can possibly make. And again, it was a clinic by the Patriots. The Patriots are doing it with smoke and mirrors as far as their defense goes. I mean, you can't even name some of these guys that are in their secondary, but they find a way. They make adjustments. LeSean McCoy, again, 10 catches, 31 yards. They have a touchdown. But, you know, you hold him to, you know, if he's only going to get 10 carries, you know, you're basically just, you know, if you're the Eagles, you're writing your own death sentence about that. That's not how to win. You know, that's not how you're going to win. They have, you know, as great a year as he's having, they have completely underutilized him as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, and this was a game to me where he couldn't get enough touches or carries, but it was not in the cards. Some issues, Eagles had a couple issues that they had within their own team. The one, Deshaun Jackson, got benched in the fourth quarter, had a couple of drops. This thing has gotten personal with him, you know, and the organization. He wants a new contract. He's pouted. He's soaked. Of course, the team meeting that he missed and got deactivated for a couple weeks back. Andy Reid has allowed this thing to get personal. You know, says, you know, you don't bench a guy for dropping a couple of passes. I mean, that's all there is to it. Also, you have Marty Morningwake arguing with Jim Washburn, defensive line coach. Apparently, Washburn has some issues with Morningwake's play calling. So Eagles have completely just fallen apart at the seams. I'll talk more about Andy Reid and also another coach from a high-profile team that had heavy expectations that have kind of fallen flat on their faces. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. But again, New England is rolling right now, 8-3. They, you know, again, they're tied with the Ravens and the Steelers and also Houston to having the best record in the AFC. Green Bay over Detroit, 27-15. Of course, this game was on Thanksgiving Day. Another big day for Aaron Rodgers, 22-33, 307 yards, 2 touchdowns. James Jones had 3 catches for 94 yards and a touchdown. Matthew Stafford, 3 interceptions, 23-45 for 273. Detroit, this game was over at halftime. And, you know, you want to say yourself, well, how could you say that when it was only 7-0? Detroit had ample opportunities to be up in this game, to put points on the board. Detroit should have had about 14, 17 points on the board. And when they go to half, at half down by 7, I was like, there's no way they're going to recover from this. At a certain point, Green Bay was going to get hot, and lo and behold, third quarter, before you can, you know, get your gravy ready for your turkey, Green Bay's up 24-0. And again, I said this Sunday, and I'll say it again, nobody can flip a game as quick as Green Bay. I mean, they could be, you know, you could, you think as the opposing team that you're right in the game with them, and you're, you know, you're you're hanging with them. Next thing you know, you get a turnover. They get a touchdown. You get a three and out. They get a touchdown, and you're down by 21 points before you know it. I mean, they do that again. They do that unlike any other team. They do that better than any other team in football right now, by far and away. And you just cannot make mistakes against them. You cannot turn over the ball against that team. Of course, Ndamukong Suh had the bonehead play of the year with the kicking that got him out, that got him thrown out the game, and also got him a 2-game suspension without pay. He fully deserved it. Had no problem with the NFL and Roger Goodell with the suspension, and and missing 2 games without pay. He's got to grow up at some point. He's got to grow up. He's a great player, has a chance to be an all-time great, but this, you know, at first I was like, he's a little dirty, but really didn't think too much of it. Now it's like, come on, like, dude, you just got to pull yourself together. They will not go to the next level until he grows up, because they take the lead from him. They take his lead. Remember, there are no leaders on that team. That is a young team. Stafford's young. You got Kelvin Johnson, who's relatively young. They take the lead from Sue and their coach. I mean, Jim Schwartz, he's this high wire act himself, and this boisterous and talks a lot of trash on the sidelines. He has to calm that down. But again, Detroit had a million penalties, 11 penalties for 82 yards, constantly shot themselves in the foot. Can't make those mistakes against a team like Green Bay. Green Bay, again, goes 11-0, Detroit 7-4. Detroit can mess around and not make the playoffs. Schedule does not get any easier. They still have a game against – they still have another game against Green Bay. They have a game against they will play New Orleans on Sunday Night Football. Again, that's been switched to Sunday Night Football. Good job by them taking Indianapolis and New England off that particular time slot and making that switch as they go into now their flex schedule. Detroit has a very tough schedule. Green Bay, on the other hand, they at New York, home to Oakland, at Kansas City, home to Chicago, home to Detroit. I think if they get past that Oakland game, they could go 16-0. I really do. I don't see them losing at home this year. So, would not be surprised if they went 16-0. Now, I think they need to lose a game. I think they need to lose one game. A lot of pressure to go into the playoffs at 16-0. When we return, we'll talk about a defensive struggle on Thursday night, and also the fireworks that came in the Superdome last night. We'll talk about that and much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. San Francisco was kind of exposed in this game. Ken Hodge, a quarterback. Alex Smith wasn't awful, but, 15-24. Now, he was sacked like 20 million times. But, you know, you got to have a quarterback that can go out there and make plays against good defenses. And that's all there is to it. And quarterbacks, the caliber of Alex Smith, are going to struggle against a defense like Baltimore. And, now again, offensive line did not help him out, sacked 9 times, had a touchdown called back with, Teagan Jr., that with the 75-yard, would have been a 75-yard touchdown. Flacco did just enough. He wasn't great in himself, 15-23, 161 and a touchdown. Baltimore, you know, did what good teams should do when they have a defense like that and they're pounding the hell out of the quarterback, and that's run the football. And they did that, you know, only had 92 yards, but had 35 carries, really controlled the pace of the game. And, good win for Baltimore, holding San Francisco to 170 yards. San Francisco getting a sense of what it's like to play with the big boys. They beat the Giants. I understand that. Beat Philadelphia, that almost doesn't count right now. But, San Francisco, I think, is a very good team, but it's not a team that I think is a legit Super Bowl contender. I heard a couple of people say that they think they are. They're nuts. They're a good team. They're a very good team. But Baltimore just a little too much for them. And again, Baltimore plays up to the competition and down to the competition as well as any team in the league. I mean, they could beat anybody, but they can also lose to anybody, which scares you in a big spot come playoff time. But they'll be right there without question moving forward. The Saints toyed with the Giants, 49-24. This game was an offensive clinic for the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees, and he was just Drew Brees. I mean, he did whatever he wanted to, had a big night, well over 350 yards passing, accounted for 5 touchdowns, had four touchdowns, ran for 1, a couple of touchdowns to Jimmy Graham, a couple of touchdown passes to Lance Moore. Jimmy Graham had a big night. And the Giants, you know, listen, don't be fooled by Eli's 400 yards passing. Had, you know, at one point he was 20 for 20, had completed 20 straight passes. When the Giants had the score and that game was in the balance, Giants offense didn't do anything. So, kind of, you know, Eli was able to pad his stats. Giants were able to put up some garbage points. That game was never, ever in doubt because the Giants couldn't stop the Saints. And the last two times the Giants have visited the Superdome, it has not been pretty. Brees has just absolutely just had his way with the New York Giants. The last two times they've played, Saints improved to 8-3 on the season. Giants are in a mini free fall at 6-4. And I don't even consider this to be a bad collapse because the Giants, you know, the schedule is catching up with them. A couple of those losses to the Redskins and Seattle, that's catching up with them. And the Giants are just not that good this year. I mean, they can't run the ball. They can't rush the passer. They can't do those two things. I mean, they have no chance. They have absolutely no chance. So, good win for the Saints. Giants, good luck. Have Green Bay next week. When we return, we'll talk about a couple of coaches that need to be on their way out. And we'll also get to the poll question as well. That is coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. As we wrap up the program here, 57 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour, of course, the poll question of the evening was, which quarterback would you take right now, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Drew Brees? Tougher than you think. I mean, all these quarterbacks are championship quarterbacks. You know, Brady, of course, has the 3 Super Bowls. Brady, of course, resume is a little more polished considering that he's, you know, been around, been in the league longer, you know, been in the league, been a starter longer than both these, than either Rodgers or Drew Brees. Drew Brees' last 6 years, since Drew Brees came, Brees was very good with San Diego. He was good with San Diego. He's become great. He's become a Hall of Famer with the Saints. His last six straight years of 25 or more touchdown passes, only Peyton Manning, he's tied with Brett Favre, only Peyton Manning has more, as Manning had a ridiculous, you know, before he got injured this year, 13 straight years with that, 13 straight years with 25 or more touchdown passes. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, to me, is, you know, the model, you know, I mean, the prototype right now at the quarterback position. Brady, of course, is the all-time great, who, to me, is still at the top of his game. And, you know, I'll probably have to lean towards Aaron Rodgers only because of, you know, and I'll put his age aside because that's not fair because he's younger than both Brady and Brees. But as far as skill set, I mean, it's just, to me, there's nothing Rodgers cannot do as far as accuracy, you know, moving in the pocket, scrambling, arm strength. I mean, there's no weakness. There's none. I mean, you know, Tom Brady, you know, you hit him in the mouth, you move him, you know, he's not a great mobile quarterback in terms of throwing on the run. Brees does not have the greatest of arm strength, though it does not affect his game at all. But Aaron Rodgers, just to me, can do everything. There's nothing he cannot do. So from that standpoint, I give the slight edge. I mean the slightest edge to Aaron Rodgers. But certainly you could not lose with any one of those guys quarterbacking your football team, certainly as a Redskins. And I wish I had all of them. That's going to wrap it up on this latest edition of the NFL Show. I will see you next time. Have a great evening.